Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Mudu. Welcome to Health Chat, African solutions for African problem. It is a saying that you may have heard before. Well, it is also the name of an organization headquartered in South Africa, which with offices in the United States and the United Kingdom. The organization addresses various needs of community in South Africa, including providing care and support for nutrition, psychosocial support, and HIV/AIDS. Joining us for more on the organization and what they are doing on the ground is Noah Fischel. He served as Executive Director for African Solutions for African Problem, or ASAP, from 2004 to 2008, and is currently Director of U.S. Operations. Mr. Fischel, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you. Let me remind our listeners, if you have questions about the organization or other inquiries, please give us a call at 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. You can ask the international operator to reverse the charges. You can also email us your thoughts at healthchat@voanews.com, and we'll try to have your questions or inquiries answered by Mr. Fischel about the organization and the work they do. We'll talk about the organization ASAP in a moment, but first let's take a listen to this report by VOA's Art Chimes on HIV/AIDS and life expectancy.
A new long-term study in South Africa has looked at the results of effective treatment for HIV/AIDS called antiretroviral therapy, or ART, which became widely available in 2004. Jacob Bohr of the Boston University School of Public Health and his colleagues analyzed data collected in South Africa's KwaZulu-Natal province between 2001 and 2011. He says the scale-up of ART dramatically transformed people's lives. Death rates on the whole decreased, and people were living longer.
On the other hand, men seem to be benefiting less at the population level than women.
For example, in fewer than a dozen years, the life expectancy for women increased by more than 13 years, but men gained only 9 years of life expectancy. Why is that? Bohr says more than half the men who died of HIV/AIDS never sought treatment, even though free treatment was widely available. This suggests, he says, that better ways are needed to persuade men to get tested and treated.
Often when a man goes to a clinic, he's sitting in a room with dozens of women and is the only man there. And that can be an uncomfortable experience. And so male clinics are one idea that people have thought about.
Another approach, he says, is self-testing, where men can find out their HIV status in private. Also, Bohr points out that because a clinic doesn't charge a patient doesn't mean that the testing is really free. There are costs, like transportation or missing work, that also may deter men from getting tested and treated for HIV/AIDS. The research paper by Jacob Bohr and his colleagues is published in the journal PLOS Medicine. For VOA News, this is Art Chimes reporting.
So, Noah Fischel again, thank you for joining us. Now, HIV/AIDS is an area that your organization focuses on. Before we discuss this, could you please give us a sense of the mission of ASAP?
Yes, African Solutions to African Problems, or ASAP, supports grassroots organizations of women running drop-in centers for orphans and vulnerable children in rural parts of South Africa. Of course, these orphans and vulnerable children have been made vulnerable by HIV/AIDS, and we are implementing a six-year capacity-building model in which we build the capacity of these groups to grow from very small fledgling organizations to organizations caring for increased numbers of children and processing funding on their own. That's really the core of our mission, and we work exclusively in the Eastern Cape of South Africa, slightly south of the border of Lesotho, in a town called Matatiel.
Okay, so it's really focused very much in that specific region. Now, can you tell us about the issue a little more? Can you give us a little more information on the issue with HIV/AIDS and what you do?
Yes, as you are probably aware, South Africa is really the leading country with the highest number of HIV/AIDS people in the world, and the numbers are even more staggering in the Eastern Cape. Some even estimate the number of HIV positive people to be twice that of the Western Cape and more developed areas. And as a result, we have increasing numbers of orphans and vulnerable children. Currently, between 2001 and 2008, we had over 410,000 children orphaned by HIV/AIDS in South Africa. So the problem is increasing, and especially as we have some of the elders starting to age out, go-gos or grandmothers, we are seeing an increasing problem with regard to care of these children. And so that is our effort is to initiate a community-based response to develop drop-in centers at which the children can access nutrition, education, psychosocial support, and access to medical care and social services.
Okay. Now, let's talk about something that I found interesting, if I can say that. At least it raised my curiosity, African solutions to African problem. It is a saying we hear very often. How did that become the name of the organization?
ASAP, or African Solutions to African Problems, the name really stands at the core of our work. ASAP believes in the value of homegrown solutions, and that sustainable development really begins with people and the ownership and realization of their ideas. We believe that any change and intervention should stand in organic relationship to what the people on the ground are already doing. I think, again, part of our ethos is to really function as a listening organization. So initially, when we developed this project, we developed it as a pilot project to test our six-year model in the field. And, of course, part of piloting the model was asking a lot of questions and finding out what the people on the ground were already doing in this crisis. They were facing increasing numbers of vulnerable children in their communities, and naturally they had already developed a community response. So rather than entering the communities and with, say, a magic formula or, a preconceived developed response, our goal was to really mine for information and try and help these groups develop their own ideas that they were already practicing on the ground into more mature and developed concepts. And so, again, the six-year model, while it is focused on helping these women develop drop-in centers, also takes a long-term and slow funding approach, which really allows these groups of women the time to really identify their own strengths and weaknesses and develop those strengths as an organization so that they are capable not just of caring for children, but also really standing on their own, both in terms of generating support for their own work and accounting for that work.
Okay, we have a question on Facebook. Do you provide help to children who are infected with HIV/AIDS as well?
Yes, we do. Unfortunately, we have quite a number of children who are HIV positive. We are really working to meet the government halfway when it comes to healthcare, as well as social services and psychosocial support. As we know, the South African government is doing a lot in the way of trying to increase care across the country through their strategic national plan to OVC and of course, people living with AIDS, and that includes HIV-positive OVC. And we provide clinic referrals, which includes transportation and accompaniment of minors, as well as monitoring and evaluating the progress of their treatment.
OVC being orphans.
My apologies. Yes.
And vulnerable children. Yes, of course. All right. So now let's talk about the type of impact that you have seen in terms of even with the children that are HIV AIDS infected. What type of impact have you seen among them?
Of course, the main tenets of our work are education, nutrition, health, and psychosocial support. So primarily with the children who are infected, we have, simply their adherence to ART treatment and their disclosure. Some of these children are, of course, older adolescents as well. So that's an important part of their process. And then, of course, that does tie into their psychological well-being. We rely very much on qualitative reports from, say, teachers, the caregivers themselves, or members of their household to as indicators as to how the children are progressing. Since we are, and then in terms of actual health, we are relying on local clinics to monitor their CD4 counts. With regard to nutrition, we are monitoring, things like body mass index and arm caliper, weight, and age to really determine how the, development is going and how they are progressing in our program with relationship to nutrition. We've seen a lot of positive outcomes with regard to children managing to stay on their treatment, accessing the nutrition needed to take their treatment. Of course, we can't take those medications on an empty stomach. With the help of caregivers, sticking to those regimens.
Okay. And I found out that you also have other I will qualify unconventional ways of also addressing providing care, which is play therapy, storytelling, art and music therapy, which is very, very interesting. And we definitely want to know more about what you are doing with this on the ground. But before that, we are going to take a short break. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion. But first, we'll have the news. So, Mr. Fischel, don't go away. We'll be right back. That's for you listeners as well.
Researchers from the University of Pennsylvania say a drug used to fight breast cancer may be effective against other forms of the disease. Writing in the journal JAMA Oncology, the researchers say the drug fibrocyclib could attack other type of cancer cell while inflicting little or no harm to healthy cell. Fibrocyclib is an inhibitor which targets certain enzymes that drive rapid tumor cell division. It was the first such drugs approved against breast cancer. In another study, the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention conclude that a combination of at least six drugs may be needed to combat the growing health menace of multi-drug resistance, tuberculosis, MDR-TB. Currently, the World Health Organization recommends that five drugs be administered simultaneously. But the study, conducted at 26 sites in 9 countries, found that using six drugs could provide a necessary boost in effort to defeat MDR-TB. Among the 1,100 adult patients in the study with MDR-TB, those who receive six potentially effective drugs saw a 36% likelihood of responding to treatment compared with those who receive five or fewer drugs. The findings were published in the journal PLOS Medicine. Finally, a study suggests more lives could be saved if doctors consider giving blood pressure drugs to all patients at high risk of heart disease, even if their blood pressure are normal. The report calls for a move away from current guideline issues by England's National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, which recommends pills only be prescribed if blood pressure is above a certain threshold. But experts acknowledge lifestyle factors also have an important role to play in bringing blood pressure down. The study appeared in The Lancet. And that's the wrap-up of today's health news.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are focusing our attention to the organization African Solutions to African Problem, or ASAP. And joining us via phone from the United States here is Noah Fischel, who served as the executive director for the organization from 2004 to 2008, and is currently director of U.S. operations. So, Mr. Fischel, before the show, I mentioned the fact that your organization was also resorting to therapies such as play therapy, storytelling, art and music therapy. Tell us more about that. Play therapy, what is that?
I'm so glad you asked. We really consider art therapy, as well as our after-school and summer camps for both children and youth alike, a really integral part of our orphan and vulnerable child care programs. And especially under the heading psychosocial support, and play therapy in particular really is just play, and really what children do best and what they should be working hard at. Of course, you know, developmentally it's very important. We've not just had support from the South African government in terms of their funding of an increased number of early childhood development centers, which, again, provide for supervision, daycare, but also play. Play therapy is an important part, you know, even having educational learning materials that are stimulating, that promote learning and, you know, really enhance the early childhood development experience. So we think play is a really important part of the child care experience. And ASAP's drop-in centers are, as the situation allows, located next to government-supported early childhood development centers where possible. So we work in concert with these centers to also help develop playgrounds, mm-hmm. As well as bring in different professional organizations who work specifically with art therapy, you know, everything from theater to poetry to you know, sculpture. We work especially with youth to do. We recently, in fact, had a group of youth perform in a local poetry competition. I believe they won. And again, just you know, bringing those normal childhood activities back into the daily lives of these children.
Okay, and also you mentioned art and music therapy. So basically, this will be when they are on the playground. Whether you, I guess you mentioned some of them. Music therapy, who plays the music? The children learn to play the music, or do they have musicians that come perform for them?
Well, as you know, music and singing is such an integral part of the Xhosa and the South African culture. And they, you know, when we arrive, there's oftentimes a really strong music and singing program. But we like to build on that. And again, through our child and youth programs, these are after school programs, weekend programs, holiday programs. You know, keeping the kids active and busy. You know, we really, you know, nurture art therapy through, again, you know, bringing in homegrown solutions from other parts of, well, not just South Africa, but sub-Saharan Africa. You know, these are NGOs that have experience working with children, with, you know, both musical instruments, art therapy, all of these different areas. And so we bring these people into the villages to work with the kids. And again, we see, you know, just positive results, happy smiles on faces. That's always the greatest indicator for us.
Mm-hmm. And you also provide first aid supplies?
We do provide first aid supplies. part of what we are doing actually is not just helping train women to become caregivers for orphans and vulnerable children, but also to become caregivers within their communities for patients suffering from various diseases, including HIV/AIDS. Part of what we provide is also government certified home-based care training, and that training is pretty intensive training, and the women commit to that and then are able to really serve as caregivers, home-based caregivers within their communities effectively. We provide the supplies to those caregivers so that they can do their work. We also coordinate with local clinics, which again are supported by the South African government, and do our best to not just refer patients, but also extend the work that they're doing. Currently, we have 97 caregivers caring for around 140 patients and around 50 people with AIDS in these communities. These are just the numbers from small fledgling groups. Of course, over the years since our founding, we've helped 700 caregivers care for over 350 people with AIDS in their communities. And this is very much in line with what the South African government is headed towards in terms of their national strategic plan and sort of stepping down services. There's been a really implementation now starting of the, you know, where you have, say, nurses instead of doctors initiating an ART treatment therapy. And so, again, we are looking to develop our home-based carers into that next level of care workers who can monitor treatment, not just for HIV/AIDS, but for TB and other opportunistic infections within their communities effectively and interface with local clinics.
Okay, and we have another question. We will take a short break and continue our conversation. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, and if you are just joining in, we are discussing the organization African Solutions to African Problem. It's a South Africa-based organization with offices in the US and the UK. On the phone with us is Mr. Noah Fischel. He is Director of US Operations. So, Mr. Noah, one of the questions that we have is, how do you recruit the caregivers?
African Solutions to African Problems initiate points of community entry. So what we do is we go into a community and we try and identify women who are already really demonstrating a spirit of volunteerism.
Okay.
So we enter a community. We may go to a local school or even a police department and say, ask if they know of any women in the community who are already working with children. Once we're able to locate these women, and every community has them, we sit down with them and we identify what their goals are, and try to pull together, again, what I was referring to earlier as a Mbizo or community meeting, in which we invite local tribal chiefs, elders, ward counselors, members of the school district, and any other community leaders to the meeting to really garner support for the work that they are about to take on. And so, yeah, that's how we identify the women. And again, working with them slowly, we start with very small incremental grants, building skills for accountability, monitoring and evaluating, grant writing, program development, as well as, you know, really group dynamics and group cohesion, and working to develop what they're good at and help them establish a drop-in center within their community.
So when you look at the work that you've been doing over the years, if someone wanted to start something in similar in terms of helping, supporting a given community, what would you? What kind of advice would you give them in terms of where do you start, what do you need, really, what does it take to do such work?
Well, interestingly enough, we have a very special founding story ourselves. Our founder, ASAP, was founded in 2003 by Priscilla Hyam. And she, while her father was the district commissioner of Botswana, and she is was raised there, she really came into the work initially just starting by making, she was going to make a documentary in Nairobi, and found, you know, groups of women caring for children, and her goal was to, again, do a lot of listening and, you know, start small with small, raising small amounts of money from friends. She was able to, you know, distribute this money to a few groups of women and then really monitor and evaluate the results of those grants, those small grants. And so, you know, she started ASAP with a budget of $10,000, which was raised from friends. And now it has grown into the organization that it is today. So I would really say that, you know, if the passion is there, if you're willing to work overtime as she has all these many years, that anybody can do work either in their own communities or abroad. I think that it just takes a listening ear and the drive.
How do you coordinate the work, South Africa, the U.S., the U.K.? How does it work?
Yes, we are a three-armed charity, so we raise money in the United States and in the United Kingdom, as well as in South Africa. And we are governed by one international board from representatives of each country. Again, our head offices are located in Cape Town, with our field offices located in Matatiel, within an hour's distance from our groups. So, you know, the organization has quite a reach, but again, our work is exclusively focused on the Eastern Cape, and to really, you know, we are working to shine a light on what is happening there, the dire situation, and also some of these groups that really are doing such good work on a daily basis. And so that is the center of what we're doing.
And to finally, before we finish, to contact you, what is your information?
Yes, please. Our website is www.africansolutions.org. And you can find out more about our work or donate there. You know, we welcome you to visit the website and also ask any questions you have. You can always contact us at the under the contact section of that page.
Okay, Noah Fischel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Lenore.
Great. And that was Noah Fischel, Executive Director for African Solutions for African Solutions to African Problem, rather, or ASAP. And now for more on today's show, log on to our website at voanews.com, or we can keep the conversation going on facebook.com/VOA Health Chat, and let's really talk about the issues that matter to us. I'm your host, Lenore Mundo, in Washington, with producer Jackson Vunganyi. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.